Masechta Zvachim, Perek Tes, HaMizbeach, Mekadesh, the Mishnah. The Mizbeach is Mekadesh anything that goes on it, even if there's a psul. In fact, once this item is on the Mizbeach, we don't take it off. But it's only Mekadesh what is Roi Lai, Rabbi Yeshua says. Roi Lai means that it must be Roi to be burnt, Ishim, which comes to exclude blood and Nesachim. If it's Roi, the halacha is Im Ola Lo Yered. Once it's up on top, we do not take it off. Rabbi Gamliel says, Roi means Roi Lamizbeach. If it's Roi Lamizbeach, then we say Im Ola Lo Yered. And the Gemara says, even though by Kodshim Kalim we have no din of Me'ila, but the Emurim do have the potential to have Me'ila, if they were set aside for Karbanis. This is referred to as Huvrar L'chelek Gavoha. And in this case, if Zrika was done, we say that it's possible that there could be a halacha of Me'ila. The halacha of Leiseret only comes with a karban that comes by itself. This excludes Nesachim, which comes as a result of a karban. Daf Pei Dalad, the Mishnah. There are cases where even though the karban is posel, but if b'di'eved it was put on the Mizbeach, we don't take it off. As we mentioned, im ola lo yered. What are these cases? If there is a psul of lina, if it was left too long, if it was taken out of the azara, which is not supposed to be taken out of the azara, if it became tame, if it was shechted chutz lezmane or chutz lemkoime, if someone who was posel did the kabbalah or the zrika, in all of these cases, we say im ola lo yered. Rabbi Yehuda says, if a carbon was shechted at night, or if a dam was spilled, or it was taken out of the proper area, we say im ola tered, we do take it down. Rabbi Shimon says, lo yered. However, here are cases of tered, cases where everyone agrees that we do take it down from the Mizbeach. If an animal was bayal a person, or it was an animal made of kilayim, or it was used for avodah zarah, or esnan, it was used as a payment for a zayna, or it's a trefa, it's defective, or if it was yaitze daifen, it was born through a Caesarean, or it had a mum, in these cases we say tered. Rabbi Akiva is machshir by some types of balmum. The Gemara. If dam was supposed to be put in the azara, and instead it was put in the heichal, or vice versa, we say im ola lo yered. This is learned from the pasuk of Teres Ha'ela. And in fact, all the other halachas regarding this subject are learned from a variety of psukim. Finally, if someone offers a karban outside of the azara, he is chayav karis. But this is only if it's a karban which is roi to be offered inside the azara. Daf pehe. Although in dead animals we have cases of im ola lo yered, if the animals are put on the Mizbeach alive, then we say im ola yered. We say that you cannot offer a karban with a mum or with waste, since it isn't honorable to give this to Hashem. It would be like offering a tainted gift to a king in this world. The next Mishnah. There are things that even if they're put on the Mizbeach, we must take them down. What are these things? The meat of Kotche Kotchim and Kotchin Kalim, the Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos, the weekly Lechem HaPanim, the leftover of the Mincha, K'taris, which was put on the Mizbeach HaChitzan, although it's supposed to be put on the Mizbeach Pnimi, the wool, the hair, the arteries, the sinews, and horns, if they're not attached to the animal. But if they're attached, then they get to stay on the Mizbeach. Daf Pevav, the next Mishnah. If we're dealing with items where we say, im ola lo yered, but if they fell off the Mizbeach, or if a coal fell off the Mizbeach, you don't need to put them back. If limbs that are supposed to burn fall off before Chatzais, you must put them back, and there is a din of Me'ila. After Chatzais, you don't put them back, and there is no din of Me'ila. The rule is, just like something which was put on the Mizbeach becomes kosher, and you don't take it off, so too, the kevesh, the ramp, is Mekadesh, and so is Klisharis. The Gemara. From Sukkim we learn that the first half of the night is for Haktara, and the second half is the state of Ikul, meaning when we can do the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. The time of the Trumas Hadeshen is around the time that the Kohanim are woken up. On Yom Kippur, we do it at Chatzais. This is Mishum Chulsha de Kayan Gadol, so we'll have time to rest before the regular Avodah. And on the Regalim, we make it in the first third of the night, since there were such big crowds that came to bring Karbanis in honor of the Regal. Daf Pei Zayin. We hold like Rabbi Yosef, that even if the pieces are not on the Mizbeach by Chatzais, still Chatzais is Kaveh the Zman of Ikol. Lechem upon him, even if it's on the Shulchan for many days, we say there is no psul of lina. Limbs that were in the Azara can be put onto the Mizbeach all of that night, and there will be no psul of lina. The Gemara says whatever touches the Mizbeach or the Kevesh, the ramp, becomes kodesh, and this is called kedushas haguf. Regarding im ola layered, what if you didn't put the carbon on top of the mizbeach, but in the air above it? This is a machlokes. Daf peches, the next mishnah. If a klisharis is used for liquids, it's mekadesh the liquids. If a klisharis is used for salads, it's mekadesh the salad. But a klisharis for liquids cannot be used to be mekadesh salads, or a klisharis for salads cannot be mekadesh liquids. If a kli kodesh has a hole, as long as it is still capable, the keli is still capable of doing the job, it can be mekadesh. But if it's not capable of doing the job, it cannot be mekadesh. But in general, kelim can only be mekadesh when they're located in the azara. The Gemara. Shmuel says that a klisharis cannot be mekadesh if it has a hole, and can only be mekadesh a full shear, and the entire item must be in the kli in order for it to be mekudesh. Some added that the item must be a shalem as well. Rav Asi adds, we only say that it can't be mekadesh if the kayan doesn't plan to complete a full shear. But if he has kavana to eventually put in a full shear, it becomes kodesh as soon as the first drops fall in. If a keli was chipped, or if a knife got broken, it had a pegima, then you cannot fix it. The Bigdei Kahuna came from single pieces of cloth, as opposed to multiple pieces sewn together, and they were never washed, so as not to give the impression of anias. The Gemara says the beged called the me'il was kulay tcheles. It had the entire blue color in it, and they used to have little balls at the bottom of them. Why is the parsha of karbanis followed by the parsha of Bigdei Kahuna? The Gemara answers, since they're both mechaper. The michnasayim, the pants, are mechaper for the avera of arayis. The mitznefes, the turban, is mechaper for gaiva. The avnate, the belt, was mechaper for bad thoughts. The chayshin, the breastplate, is mechaper for averis involving money. The ephod, the apron, is mechaper for avodah zara. The me'il is mechaper for lashon hara. The tzitz, which is the plate worn on the forehead, is mechaper for azus panim. Others hold the k'taris is mechaper for lashon hara. We know that the kohen gadol went into the kodesh kodashim yom kippurim, and when he went in with the k'taris, that we know was mechaper for the avera of lashon hara. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak yud, kol hatadir. The mishnah. Any carbon which is brought more frequent has kadima before a carbon brought less frequently. For example, the daily carbon tamid has kadima before the carbon musaf. Why? Because the daily carbon tamid was brought every day, while the carbon musaf was only brought on Shabbos, Yontif, and Rosh Chodesh. The next mishnah. Any carbon that has a higher level of kedusha has kadima before a carbon that has a lower level of kedusha. For example, dam hachatas has priority over dam ha'oila, since it helps a person be mechaper for an avera. A chatas also has kadima before an asham, since a chatas has four matanais dam versus an asham, which has just shtayim shehen arba. The Mishnah says that the asham has kadima before a taida, since it is kodesh kadashim versus a taida, which is called kachim kalim. A carbon of an oif has kadima before a mincha, since it involves dam, which is more chashiv than flour of a mincha. And the Gemara says, once you begin the matana of one carbon, even if it's the one which has less kadima, you must finish up the matana. In other words, once you begin a matana, that carbon automatically has kadima, because you started to do the avodah. The taida has kadima before nazir, because a taida has four different kinds of bread. The Gemara says the emurim of kachim kalim have a din of kache kachim. So if they are yaitse, if they are taken out from the azara, they become pasal. These emurim become kache kachim just before the zirika is done, since at that moment they become huvrar to be put on the mizbeach for haktara. Ravine adds that even if the emurim left the azara before the zirika, there is a psul of yaitse. Daf tzadik. Rabbi Eliezer holds that kache kachim kalim, which are yaitse before zirika, have no din of me'ila, pigal, or nicer, or chiyav tame. Rabbi Kiva says there is me'ila, and the chiyuvim of pigal, neiser, and tame. Finally, any time that a carbon is brought primarily for an avera, the chatas will always be brought first. But by yeledes, the oila will always have kadima. Overall, though, in general, a chatas has kadima. The next mishnah. All chatais have kadima before an asham, except for an asham mitzayra, which will have kadima because it is chashev in that it makes a mitzayra roi to eat kachim and enter the mikdash. The rule is that if a carbon is brought to the mikdash yesterday, and a different one is brought today, yesterday's has kadima. The Gemara. If you have a carbon which has a maila of tadir, and a different carbon which has a maila of more kedusha, which has kadima? Kutras Aladaf brings the Rambam in Hilchas Tmidin and Musafin, Perak Tes, Halacha Beis, who says that since the Gemara leaves this question unresolved, the Rambam rules that one who is faced with such a choice may give precedence to whichever karban he wishes to give precedence to, either the one that has kadima because of kedusha, it has more kedusha, he could give that kadima, or he could give the one that kadima to the one that which is tadir, whichever he chooses. The Be'er Yitzchak, which was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, brought in Or HaChaim Simen Chaf Anaf Aleph, considers the case of one who arrives in shul on Shabbos or Yom Tov, just when the shul is set to begin Musaf. Must he daven Shachris first, as routine, or should he perhaps daven Musaf first, so that he can daven together with a minyan and fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillah B'Tzibur, davening with a minyan? The Be'er Yitzchak writes that the resolution of this question is dependent on our Gemara's question as to whether Tadir takes precedence over Mekudesh or vice versa. He reasons that although Shachris is generally given precedence over Musaf, because of Tadir, Shachris, you say Shachris, you daven Shachris every day, but Musaf is only on certain days. In this case, it need not precede Musaf, because Musaf in this case has the added aspect of Tefillah B'Tzibur, making it more Mekudesh than Shachris. Since our Gemara does not resolve this question, he says that one should have the option of davening Musaf with the minyan, which is more Mekudesh, before Shachris, which is Tadir, whichever one wants they can do. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, in Igros Moshe, Or HaChaim Chelek Dalad, Simen Samaches, disagrees with the Be'er Yitzchak and rules that Shachris must always precede Musaf, even in such a case. He argues that even if in general it's permitted to accord precedence to a mitzvah or a karban, which is Mekudesh, over one which is Tadir, this is not so with regard to the karban Tamid. As stated before, aside from the fact that the Tamid is Tadir, there is an additional halacha saying that Shelo Yehei Dover Kaidim L'Tamid. No karban may precede the Tamid. This halacha cannot be overridden, even by a karban that has the advantage of Mekudesh. Consequently, argues Rav Moshe, since Shachris was instituted in place of the karban Tamid, it must always precede Musaf, even in a case where Musaf is more Mekudesh, due to the added halacha of Shelo Yehei Dover Kaidim L'Tamid. Aladaf also brings a Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim Simen Chaf Hei Halacha Aleph, who writes that one should put his talus with his tzitzis on before he wears tefillin, because a mailin b'kodesh should be ein maridin. The Nebuchad Yosef, however, brought in Hilchas Tzitzis, which is brought in the end of Menachos, where all you have Hilchas Tzitzis and Hilchas Tefillin and so on, and it's brought Divrei HaMaschil Omar Rav on Daf Yud Beis Amar Aleph in the pages of the Rif. He brings down and he explains that tzitzis are more tadir than tefillin, and that tzitzis are worn on Shabbos and Yontif, as well as weekdays, whereas tefillin are only worn on weekdays. Since tzitzis are more tadir, they are given precedence because of the rule of tadir, v'she'ena tadir, tadir kaidim. That's why we first put on the talus, then we put on tefillin. The Shagas Aryeh in Simen Chaf Ches objects to the Mukhi Yosef's reasoning on two counts. Firstly, he points out that while tzitzis may be more tadir, tefillin are more mekudesh, as is brought in Megillah Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, as he mentioned before. Where there's a conflict between tadir and mekudesh, one has the option, giving precedence to whichever he wishes. Secondly, he mentions the mitzvah of tzitzis, technically speaking, is an optional mitzvah, because if one chooses not to wear a four-cornered beged, he's putter from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Hence, the Shagas Aryeh argues that tzitzis warrants the classification of motzoi, that it's similar to shlomim, and it's not tadir, between both of those, and the fact that people wear four-cornered garments with tzitzis on a daily basis is not sufficient reason to give it precedence over tefillin. The Shagas Aryeh, in conclusion, rules that one has the option of wearing whichever he wants first. He can first put on the talus or the tefillin. We, of course, pass like the Shulchan Aruch, where we say that we first put on the talus, then we put on the tefillin. However, b'di'evit, if one took his tefillin, he stuck his hands in his talus bag and he took his tefillin first, then we say, ein mavir in al mitzvahs, and in that case, b'di'evit, the person would put on the tefillin first. Taf Tzadik Aleph. By Kiddush on Shabbos, the bracha over the wine has kadima over the birchas hayayim, since birchas hayayim is more tadir. If a person has a choice of davening mincha or musaf on Shabbos, he should daven mincha first, because of tadir v'she'ena tadir, tadir kadir. What if we have two karbanis? One is more tadir, but we accidentally shechted the less tadir one first. This is a machlokes. By Karban Pesach, if one shechts it before chatzais, it's pasul, since the pasuk says, bein harabayim. But if it's shechted before the tamid shall bein harabayim, and it's really supposed to be shechted after, then it's okay. The kohanim can eat the meat of karbanis any way they want, roasted, cooked, and so on, because they have rishus to eat it derech malachim, which is really any way they like to eat it. The Mishnah. Reb Shimon says that if oil is being given out to Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, it must be the leftover from the Menachais Yisrael or the Leg Shemen of Mitzrayim. Gemara. Just like the minimum shear for Nesachim is 3 lugin, so too by the Nedava of Shemen, it must be a minimum of 3 lugin. If a person throws small drops on a Mizbeach without Kavana to put out the fire, so he just puts small drops, but he doesn't mean to put out the fire, but by accident, because of what he throws on, the fire becomes extinguished, then is this mutter or not? Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, because it's a davar she'ena miskaven, and a davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says davar she'ena miskaven is usser, so a person would not be allowed to do this, and he's over an avera if by accident it puts out the fire. Daf tzadik beis. If nesachim became tame, they are burnt in a special wood pile in the azara. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin the 11th perek, dam chatas, the Mishnah. If the dam of a chatas falls on a beged, there is a special halacha of kibbus, which says that it must be washed in the azara. Having a shas hakosher means that if the blood became tameh, had the psul of lina, or it was taken out of the azara, the Gemara. Al chatayis must be done in the tzafin, in the north side of the azara. They need kabbalah with a kli sharis. It needs a knife for shchita. Dam is put on the karnais hamizbeach with the finger, and the emurim are burnt. If the dam of a karban chitzain enters the heichal, it becomes pasul. If a chatas ha'if after malika with dam in its neck was taken into the heichal, do we say the neck is called a klisharis, so it's pasul, or not, and it's not pasul? If the dam was niskabel and then spills on the floor, it can be gathered up and it's still considered kosher. Finally, if dam falls onto one beged and then falls into a second beged, the second beged also needs kibus. Daf tzadik gimel. If mechatas passes over something that is tameh, even if it never touches that item, it becomes tameh in the airspace. It's considered kamunach dami. The din of kibus only applies if dam, which is kosher lizrika, falls on the beged. Rabbi Yaakov says, as long as there was a shas hakosher where the dam was kosher for zrika, even if later it became pusel, if it then falls on a beged, the beged still needs kibus. Otherwise, there is no kibus. Rabbi Shimon says there is always a halacha of kibus. The next Mishnah. If dam fell from the neck of an animal onto a beged, i.e., not, there's no keli involved here, but it just fell directly onto the beged, or it fell from the karen or the yisaid, or it fell onto the floor after the zrika, then it falls onto a beged, then no kibus is needed. The Gemara. If you have the dam chatas in two different kelim, each with less than the proper shear, if later they were combined and the dam fell on a beged, there is no din of kibus. Finally, when a kohen puts his finger in the keli to touch the dam, he shouldn't wipe the dam off onto the keli. Instead, he should wipe the shirayim onto the par, so it'll be burnt with the animal on the mizbeach. The Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says only once the skin of the animal was flayed, only at that point is there a din of kibus. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. The rule is that only where the dam falls, and only if it falls on the spot of a beged, which is makabel tuma, do we have a din of kibus. It also must be a beged which is washable. This excludes wood. The kibus must be done in the Beis Hamikdash. And with the Kli Nechayshes, you need merika ushtifa. You need a full washing and rinsing. Daf Tzadik Dalad, the Gemara. If a pillow, which is made out of fabric, had dirt on it on Shabbos, you can wipe it clean, but you can't put water on it. This is because it now becomes kibus, and that's melambein, which is a melacha. But if it's made out of ore, made out of leather, it's okay to put water on it. The halacha of kibus applies to soft ore, to soft leather, that comes from the skin of an animal. But if the ore is hard, for example, leather that's on a shoe, then it's not a bar kibus. It does not require kibus. If someone throws a kerchief into water on Shabbos, he's chayev for doing malacha, since this is called kibus, since it now gets soaked. Rava says, one may wash shoes on Shabbos, since the leather is hard. Finally, both kibus and the breaking of a klicheres both have to happen in the makam kadesh, i.e. in the azara. The next Mishnah. If a beged got dam chatas on it, so now there's a chi of kibus, if it was taken out of the azara, you bring it back in to do the kibus. But if the beged became tame outside of the azara, you tear it, it becomes not tame, and you bring it now back in. A kli cheres, if kachim was cooked in it, the halacha is you must break it in the azara. If you took it out, you must bring it back in, and then break it there. If it became tame, you make a hole in it and bring it back in. A kli nechayshes also requires merika ushtifa in the azara, cleansing and rinsing. If it's taken out, you make a large hole, and then you bring it back in to do all these things that are needed. The Gemara. A beged becomes tar if you tear rive of it, only if you didn't leave enough to make a sudr, to make a handkerchief. But if you did, it remains tame, since it still has a shame, beged. Daf tzadikei. Normally, a beged cannot become tame if it is smaller than the shear of gimel al gimel etzbais. If we have a very thick or thin beged, which is not really roy to wear, so then the shear is even bigger. It's gimel by gimel tvachim. To do kibbutz, you must use the 7 natural detergents, which are called the shiva samemonim. The Mishnah. If kachim are cooked in a keli, mamish inside the keli, or poured boiling water into the keli, if these are kachay kachim or kachim kalim, the keli mean merika ushtifa, cleansing and rinsing. According to Reb Shimon, by kachim kalim, the kelim do not need merika ushtifa. The Gemara. A klicheres that is makabel some kachim must be broken, shvira. This is whether there is bishel or bliya. If treif of bread was baked in a klicheres, Rabba said, this oven is usser forever. You can't burn it out, since a klicheres, once it's makabel something treif, it does not have a tikkun. Rak shvirasan mitaharasan. Dough made with milk is usser to eat as bread, because a person may come to eat it with meat. Rav says a klicheres is usser to use after Pesach for 2 reasons. Number 1, since klicheres permanently absorbs tastes, it's like chametz shavar lava Pesach, because it was absorbed as chametz, and now after Pesach it's still chametz, so it's chametz shavar lava Pesach. Or, it's usser to use after Pesach, because nesen tam lifgam, he holds, is usser. And libun, using a very high temperature torch, can only help by a metal oven, not by a klicheres. Daf tzadik vav. The oven used in the Mikdash was made out of metal, so you wouldn't have to worry about the problem of tuma if kachim are baked in it. Some allowed a wooden klisharis, but they didn't allow klicharis. If only part of a keli had kachim cooked in it, only the part of the keli that had bishel has a chiyav of merika ushtifa. A fleishiga keli should not be used to cook milk, because it's basa b'chalav. And if one did b'di'eved, the meat will asur the milk b'nais and tam, if it gives flavor. I.e. if there's more than shishim, more than 1/60th keneged the milk. If truma was cooked in a keli, you shouldn't cook chulin in the pot. But if you did by accident, the truma will aser the keli b'nais and tam. Here the share of nais and tam is more than 1/200th versus the chulin. The next Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon says the pot used for kachim at the beginning of a regel can continue to be used through the entire regel, i.e. no marika ushtifa is needed until the end of yontif. The chachamim say only until the zman achila. How do we do marika ushtifa? What's the process? The Mishnah says we rinse the items with cold water. But the items where hot things were cooked on them need marika ushtifa. In those cases, the marika ushtifa must be with hot, boiling water in order to take out the belias. Daf Tzadik Zayin, the Gemara. You need hot water, since just like hagola with boiling water is needed to kasher kelim that were used by a guy, so to here, hot boiling water is needed for marika ushtifa. The Mishnah. If inside of a keli, kachim and chulin were cooked together, or kachim and kachim kalim were cooked together, if in the chamor item there was more than 1/60th, more of a nice and tam, then the kal becomes absorbed in it, and it must take on the chumras of the chamor. For example, by kachim, they must now all be eaten in the azara, even though it's kachim kalim, but since kachim are nice and tam, now everything must be eaten in the azara. If one piece of kachim that was pasul touched a different piece of kachim, only the parts that touched become pasul. The Gemara. Why do we pasul? Why don't we say ase deicha leisase and say the ase of eating kachim should be deicha the leisase of not eating kachim psulim? The Gemara answers through Rava. Rava says there is no din of ase deicha leisase by a lav in the Beis Hamikdash, just like we see by Karban Pesach. If a bone is broken, leisishbaru, that's not deicha the mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach. Finally, for karbanis, you need to do shchita with a knife, i.e. with a kli sharis, in the form of a knife. Daf tzadikas. From the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin, Zayis hatayra lo'ila, la'mincha v'lachates v'la'asham, we learn that many halachas which apply to one karban apply to others as well. For example, just like by achatas, if something else is by lea, a taste from achatas, it absorbs a taste from achatas, it inherits its din, so too by al karbanis we have this din as well. Also, just like by shlamim, we have halacha of pigol, if a person has a machshava to eat something, chutz lizmanai, and a person then later eats this particular karban, he has a chi of karis because of pigol, so too this halacha applies to other karbanis as well. From the pasuk of Asher Loi in Vayikra Tezayin by Aaron, we learn that the parchatas of Yom Kippur must come from the personal money of the kohen, not from the money of the tzibur. Anytime it uses a lashon of etzba, or kahuna by avoda, it tells us that the avoda must be done with the right hand. Finally, if dam chatas falls on a beged, there's a halacha of kibus. And when the tefillah in the mikveh is done, the bloodstain which got on this beged must be removed before putting it in the mikveh. Otherwise, there will be a chatzitza, there will be a separation between the waters of the mikveh and the item which needs cleansing. But if the owner of this beged is a butcher or a sheichet, then blood on the beged is not called a chatzitza, because midaraisa, a chatzitza only passels if the owner is makpid on the stain. In other words, there's a stain on the person's body or on a beged. If the person is makpid on that, if that thing is on the beged or on the person, when the person or the beged is put into the mikveh, that's called a chatzitza. But a sheichet or a butcher is not makpid, because there's always blood stains on his work clothing. Therefore, if there's a stain when this is put into the mikveh, that's not called a chatzitza. Kuntres Aladaf brings the Shvus Yaakov in Chelek Aleph Simen Samach Tes, who maintains that this halacha is limited to bloodstains on the butcher's garment, but does not pertain to his body or his hands. He bases this distinction on the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Hayamed Aleph, which indicates that a kohen may not perform the avodah if he has dry blood on his feet, interposing between his feet and the azara floor, or between his hands and the kli sharis, because dry blood constitutes a chatzitza. The fact that the Gemara considers blood on kohanim to be considered a chatzitza, despite the fact that kohanim, like butchers, constantly deal with blood of karbanas, indicates that while a butcher may not mind blood on his clothing, he does mind blood on his body. Accordingly, the Shvus Yaakov rules that even a butcher must remove any blood stains on his hands prior to netilas yadayim or immersion in a mikveh. This ruling, however, is contrary to the ruling of the Ramah, brought in Yeradeya, Simin Kuf Tzadik Ches, Sif Yud Zayin, because the Ramah rules that blood stains on a butcher's body does not constitute a chatzitza and does not invalidate his tefillah. Likewise, the Magid Avram in Arachayim, Simin Kuf Samach Aleph, Sifkot and Zayin, writes that a butcher or a sheichet may perform Metilas Yadayim with bloodstains on his hand. This marks the end of this perek. Mirtzah Shem, on the next table, we'll begin perek Yud Beis, Tful Yom, but at this point we will conclude our shir.